There we go. Let's start at the top of Yud Tet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. So now the Mishnah says, "B'chol kodvim." When we write the shtar, you can write with all of these items: b'dio, b'sam, b'sikra, b'kumus, or b'kan kantum. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll discuss each what each of these items are. B'chol davar shehu shel roshem. Anything that leaves a print or indelible print on the cloth. In kotvim, lo b'mashkim, v'lo b'mei peirot, you can't use liquids and b'mei peirot, fruit juices, v'lo b'chol davar she'eino mitkayem, and nothing that doesn't have permanence or lasting, is a lasting roshim to it. Al kol kotvim, you can write on anything. Al aleh shel zayit, on a leaf of the olive tree, that's, assuming that it's detached. Al keren shel para, right on the horn of a para. Benotin la'et para, that on the horn of the para, and he gives her the entire para. Al yad shel evet, he could write it on the arm of an evet. Benotin la'et evet, and then gives her the evet. Yosegliomer in kotvim lo al davar sheish bo ruach chayim v'lo al ochlim. You can't write on something that's alive and something that is food. All right, that won't be today's discussion. That's afterwards. But today's discussion will discuss the inks and which inks are kosher for ktiva. Where it says, what is dio? So dio is diuta, which is what we have today, modern day ink. As the Rabbeinu Tam points out, that the dio shalanu, our dio, our ink that we use, that is dio. And it's not the dio, not the ink that they put a fatsim gallnut juice or gallnut extract into it, and that's not called dio. And the Rabbeinu Tam goes through a series of proofs here that our dio that does not have the mea fatsim, doesn't have the gallnut juice in it, is the real dio, and that's what should be used. One of his proofs, interestingly enough, is based on the Gemara later on. It says that you cannot write with mea fatsim. You can't write with gallnut juice on top of ore or cloth that was cured with gallnut juice. And the Gemara today is going to bring a quote from the Gemara we had on Yud Aleph that says that you must use for contracts and for, say, for Torah, Tzvil, and Mezuzah, you must use ore or cloth that is cured with afatzim, because those are iacholis dayef. They're impossible to, right, cheat or forge on these documents, because if you erase, the erasure is visible on the document. Back on Yud Aleph, Rabbeinu Tam says, so what do we do today? We don't make our klafim with afatzim in them. So the Rabbeinu Tam over there said that our cloth has seed in it, right? We cure ours with lime, and since we cure ours with lime, it has the same effect as the afatzim, and that is that if you erase on it, then it's visible, the erasure, and you can see that if somebody tried to change something on it. But it's interesting that here the Rabbeinu Tam brings a proof that the ink can't have afatzim in it, because we write on, because you can't write use afatzim ink on a afatzim base, but. Again, there had been a time earlier in the Yadav says we don't use afatzim anymore. But either way, dio is ink like we have today. Sam is sama, which is orpiment. Again, I don't know exactly what that is, but that's the way Rashi translated orpiment, and I checked in the Jastra also, he quotes it as orpiment. Sikra, so this is something we're more familiar with. Amar Barbachana Sikrato Shema. That's the red, right, ink red dye. That's used, right? They use that for the Meiser Behema, they use Sikrato. All right. Kumus is Kuma. What is Kuma? So Rashi calls Kuma Srafa Ilan, some sort of sap, but it's an ink that has prepared with a resin or a gum in it. Kankatum we've seen, is a copper based ink. Amar Rav Bechana, Amar Shmuel, Charta Dush Kape. It's the shoe blacking, the blacking or the sort of cover that they use, the shoemakers use for the shoes. Rashi over here calls this kartadish pake ardiment. Tosfos over here argues and brings in, says that the shichor is ardiment. Something black is ardiment. But here, kantkatum is a karka yiroka, right? It's a green-based earth, right? That Korean vegetable belaz, and that would make more sense as a copper-based solution that has green in it. All right, now ubechol davar shuhu mitkayem. So now anything that leaves a indelible ink or writing or roshem or tkayem can be used. Latuya mai, what does that include? The Hatuya Hadatani Rabbi Chanina, this includes other inks that were mentioned by Rabbi Chanina. Ketvo b'meitaria v'afza kosher. If he wrote it with meitaria, the meitaria Rashi says is mei gishamim, right? Rainwater, right? Or water that they had some sort of vegetable that was, fruit that was soaked in it. But meitaria v'afza, afza is this gallnut juice or gallnut. So that was either a mix of rainwater and gallnut or water that had gallnut soaked in it. Kasher, that's a good ink. Tani Reb Chia, katvu be'ever, if you used lead, b'shichur, right, this is a, Rashi says this is synonymous with chartadush kape, which would make it, by transitive property, synonymous with kant katum. That's what Tosos rejects. Tosos says that shichur and kant katum are two different items. And b'shichur kasher. All right, so that's, b'shachur, b'shichur kasher. So shachor is pachmin, right? It's coals. Ubshichor is, Rashi calls it charta dushkape, that is the blackening of the shoes, and Tosus calls that ardemint. That's a blackening agent. So all of those types of inks are kosher. Itmar, it's a very interesting price. Amavir dio, agebe sikra b'shabbat. Someone who writes with dio, with ink, over sikra, which is that reddish dye, which does not have, leaves a marking, but not as deep or as clear a marking on the paper. So if you took dio and wrote over sikra b'shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan v'shalakish d'amri tarvayu, chayiv shtayim, chayiv tu malachot, achat mishum kotev, v'achat mishum mochek, chayiv for writing and for erasing. Because when you wrote with the dio over the sikra, you erased or you cleared away the sikra. By clearing away the sikra, right, that's mochek, and it's mochek al manat lichtov. Right, because the reason you're erasing it is not to leave it blank or to be a mekalkel or to ruin it, but rather you're writing over it, so that's mochek al menat lichtov. And Tosus even points out that it might even help, because the sikra underlying the dio might actually make the dio more visible. And therefore, when you're mochek the sikra and you leave that roshim in there, that might actually help the dio. So it's a mochek al menat lichtov, so it's a positive, not a derech kilkel. And number two, it's kotev, because writing with dio, right, is much more visible and permanent, and therefore, the writing with the dio over the sikra is considered writing on Shabbos. Now, dio al gabi dio, or sikra al gabi sikra potur. If you use dio on top of another dio, then that is not ksiva. And same thing with sikra al gabi sikra, because you haven't changed anything. You haven't improved or changed the writing in any way. Sikra agav dio, what happens if you use sikra on top of dio? So amrilo chayiv, v'amrilo potter. Some say that's chayiv, some say that's potter. Amrilo chayiv mochek hu. Right, you're chayiv because of mochek, because when you took the sikra and put it on top of the dio, you actually removed the dio, which was the better writing. So that's a mochek. Amrilo potter, some people say you're potter because it's mekalkel hu. When you write with the sikra, you're actually diminishing the visibility of the writing, and therefore it's a mekilkel, it's a mechika that actually is to the detriment here, and therefore it's considered a kilkel, and we know kolam akalkalim b'shabbos are pturim. So now, boime minei Reish Lakish mi Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan a question. Now remember, this previous statement about Shabbos, that you're chayiv twice when you write dio on top of sikra, was said by Tarvayu, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So in that context, Reish Lakish is asking Rabbi Yochanan a question. Edim, she'en yodim lachtom. We have edim that do not know how to sign. Ma'u she'ichtuvu lahem b'sikra v'yechtemu. What happens if we write at the bottom of the star in sikra, and then we let them trace over that with dio? K'tav elyon k'tav. Is the upper dio that they're writing with considered a k'tav? O ein oktav. So amalei, ein oktav. Rabbi Yochanan said back to Reish Lakish, that's not considered writing. Didn't you teach us Rabbi Yochanan, meaning that we had this before, which Rabbi Yochanan said by Shabbos, writing with dio on top of sikra is considered ktav. So why shouldn't that be considered ktav for the signing of the edim? Just because we think something, we should act upon it? What does that mean, that shanu medamim? So Rashi says, shanu medamim. Just because we're machmir the gabe Shabbos, So why should we be mikil the gabe shtarot? By Shabbos, it's a chumrah that we said it's your chayim. And by shtarot, oh, very good, excellent. Right, so he says over there, chayim shtayim. So Rashi writes, this is an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, in ba masali adenu bizman beit hamikdash, had the maisa come to us in the time of the beis hamikdash, vayti somech al devarai lavi chulun azara. I would not have been somech on my psak there to have him bring a korban. So when he says chayim shtayim, he says that's medama, that's what I think it should be. But if it came down to halacha lemaisa, I would not tell someone to bring the chatos. I think they're chayiv shtayim, but I would not force them to bring the chataot because I'm not certain of my position. And just like I'm not certain of my position in the chumra b'shabbos, I'm not going to be certain about or be paskin lemaisa by gittin or by shtoros in general of chatima, where it's the kula, where they're allowing the edim to be a ksav, that would be a valid ksav. All right, now we're going to bring a gemara that we saw. We're going to bring some more gemaras and something that we'd seen earlier. Itmar, edim she'ein yodim lachtom. So this is earlier on Daf Tet. We had this gemara. Edim that do not know how to sign. Rav amar mekarim lehem niyar chalak, v'malim et hakra'im dio. Right, we tear up the paper and we let them fill in the paper with dio, with ink, and that is sufficient. To shmol amar be'ever, that they do it with lead. So if you remember, it was a machlokas in Daf Tet. Rashi and Tosfos have machlokas about what this position of Rav is. Here, Rashi consistent at what he says in Daf Tet. Says here, mekarin means misartin. Over there, they carve out into the paper the klaf grooves, and then the edim come and they fill in those grooves with ink. That's what Rashi calls it. Tosfos over there says no, that rather they take another piece of paper and they cut out the letters and they create a stencil. And that stencil they place on top of the shtar, and then they fill in the stencil with ink, and that's how they sign it. How could we write the pre-signing, meaning that the markings that we're making for them to sign over, how could we do that with Eiver? Didn't we see above that Rabbi Chia says, Katvu be'Eiver, b'shachor or b'shichur kasher? If you write with lead, right, or if you write with pachman, with coal, or b'shichur, which is Ardament, according to Rashi, is kan katum, right? If we write with any of these, it's kasher. So if Eiver is kasher for ksiva, how could that be what we mark on the paper for the Eidim to copy over? That wouldn't be considered writing if they wrote over that. So the lokasho, haba ivro, haba mayad ivro. So that makes a difference in what type of lead you're using over here. Meaning, is it lead? Are you writing with the lead itself? Or are you writing with a solution, right, that has lead in the solution? So Rashi says, if you write with aver, if you write with lead itself, right, the shafshef b'chatikha shel aver, you take some lead and you rub it on, that is not ktav. So it's equivalent of what would be, I guess, our pencils today. Right, that's not considered real ktav. Whereas the b'mayad avro, right, is a water that's been soaked in crushed lead. And that would be like an ink. And that ink would be good. So when Rabbi Chia says that you can use, right, lead, he meant the lead solution. When Shmuel says that we could, you know, give a imprint for the edim to write over, he was talking about lead itself that you can write with because that doesn't have permanence and that wouldn't be considered ink. Now next, Rabbi Abahu Amar B'mei Milim. You can write for the edim with Mei Milim. Meaning that the prep for them to sign over, you can do with mei milim. What is mei milim? Mei milim is water that has had been soaked in crushed apatzim, crushed gallnuts. So now, the Gemara says, Atani Rabbi Chanina, katzvu v'mei tari v'afso kosher. Didn't you just say before, right? We said that Rabbi Chanina says if you have a solution, like a rain, water, and apso and gallnut mixed together, that solution is good ink to write on a shtar to use for ink. So how could it be over here that we're using that as the outlines or the markings for the edim to sign over, if that is good ink, then it's as if the signing's been done already. So where it says, Lakasha had the offits, had the low offits. That depends on how the klaf or what you're writing on has been cured. If the klaf has been cured with offits, with gallnuts, right, then the klaf and the ink will have the same color. So if the klaf and the ink have the same color, then the writing does not show up. It may be, you can see a little marking, but you can't really see the writing. And that is what Rabbi Bo is talking about over here, that you can use that as a indication for the Eidim should sign. The law, if it's been a klaf that has not been cured with gallnuts juice, then you cannot, then you can use me'afatzim. You can use the gallnuts that are crushed into a water-based solution as ink, because that will be visible on cloth that has not been cured with afatzim. Why? Shein mimilim agabe me'milim. Because you can't write with gallnut on top of gallnut, meaning that it's not visible. And therefore, only when it's visible is it considered good ink. And when it's not visible, you can use that as the precursor or the outlines for where the Edim will sign in order to do their chatima when they can't write properly. Rav Papa Amar Baroque, you can use saliva to indicate where they should sign. V'chein orile Rav Papa lepapa Torah Baroque. And then Rav Papa also told that Papa Torah that he should also use roke. You should use saliva in order to indicate where the Edim should sign. All right. Bahani Mile, all of these items that we're talking about here, we will allow you to prep for the Edim to sign on the document. That's only true begitin, when it's talking about a get, a divorce document. Aval b'shtoros lo. But other shtoros, that's not the case. Why? Because by gitin, Rashi says, we're mekel mishum iguna. Right? We're mekel because of agunot. So we're afraid if we don't get these Edim to sign on it right now, the guy will leave or something will happen and won't get the get. So mishum iguna, the chamer mekel, that even though they can't sign, right, nevertheless, we allow you to somehow indicate to them where to sign or how to sign, and that will work. Whereas by other shtorot, go and find good Edim who are Bikim Lachtom, they know how to sign. Because there's nothing pressing in other shtoros that the Chamer say that, okay, we'll be Mekil in this instance because there's no Iguna issues, there's no leftover issues that leave a halachic issue that they want to deal with. How Avad Uvdo B'Shar Shtarot, because someone Paskin Lamaisa or did something with Shar Shtarot, allowed the Edim to sign over a tracing or something like that. But not the Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana gave him Malkus because he felt that was inappropriate. All right, now the Gemara continues. Tanya Kavasi the Rav. There's a Braisa that supports the position of Rav. Edim She'en Yodim Lachtom. This is the Gemara we had on Daf Tet. Edim She'en Yodim Lachtom. Mikarim Lahim Niyar Chalak. Umamalim Et HaKreim Do. Right, you take a clear piece of paper and you carve in. Rashi says you carve out where the letter should go and they fill it with ink. Tosafos again says you make a stencil and then you fill in the stencil with ink. When is that applicable? That's only when you're talking about a get. By other shtarot and by shechavadim yodim likrot v'lachtom, if they know how to read and sign, chotmin, then they can sign. V'im lav ein chotmin, then they don't sign. So the Gemara asks, kriya mandakar shma. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel all of a sudden talks about reading. Where do we see in the Braisa that the Tanakhama talked about reading? So the Gemara says, Asure mechsura, we're missing parts of the Braisa, is missing some words. Ach, tani. Edim shein yodim likrot, if Edim do not know how to read, korim lefneim b'chotmim. We read it to them, and then they sign. Shein yodim lachtam, if they don't know how to sign, right, then we do this mikarin, we do this carving for them. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, b'amed v'amamurim b'gitei noshim, that's only true by a get of an isha. They know how to read the document and sign the document, then they can be signatories to the document. There's no reason to be makel in this instance to let us read it to them and then carve out the signing for them. There's no overarching issue of mishumiguna. By mishumiguna, by gitinoshim, we're makel to allow other people to read it to them, for them to sign if we carve it out for them. But that's not true by other shtaros and shichrei avadim. So Amar Rav Elazar, my time with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? This is what we've been saying till now. Shalo yibenot Yisrael agunot. Exactly that issue, that the whole, we don't want to leave women agunot, and therefore anything we can do to expedite or to ensure that a get is given, we will go ahead and do. Amar Rava, halacha to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ragamda mishmei the Rava Amar, ein halacha, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Vele keman. So the lach is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, then who does that mean the lach is like? It means like the Rabbanon. V'ha, what about the last line on the previous Amud we said, V'ha uvda b'shar shtarot? There was someone else who did a maiseh with other shtarot, but not the Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana gave him Malkus. So it sounds like what the Chamim say, that you can use this patent by other shtarot, not just by Gitei Nashim. Right? But we see that Rav Kahana didn't think that. Rav Kahana gave Malkus to someone who did it by Shar Shtaros. So Targama Akriya. So we'll explain that on the Kriya. So what does that mean, Targama of on the Kriya? That if they know how to sign, even though they don't know how to read, right, then we say it's fine. We read it to them, and we let them sign, and that's like the Chachamim. But Rav Kahana, who says that they don't know how to sign at all, then we don't paskin like the Chachamim. So I mean, we paskin like the Chachamim, the Gabe, that if they don't know how to read, that we read it to them, and then they sign it. But we don't paskin like the Chachamim in the instance that we say that they could, even if they don't know how to sign, that we carve it out for them, and they could sign on the document. Rav Yehuda, who is already, as Rashi says, Zakein, Ve'enav Kehot, his eyesight was compromised. Mitzta'er Kariv Chatim. Whenever he had to sign on a document, a court document, it was a dayon, it was an aid, he would strain himself to read it and then sign it. I'm like, Ulo, lo tzrichet. What are you doing? Why are you straining yourself? Daha Rabbi Lazar, Maro d'Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Lazar is the, you know, the posek of Eretz Yisrael, is the baki mikoch havira b'Eretz Yisrael. And Karu Kamei v'Chatim, they used to read the documents to him and he would sign on them. Rav Nachman, who is a big dayon, Karame ka safrei dayani v'chotim, the sofrei dayonim used to read in front of him, they used to read it to him, and chotim, and he would sign on it. So you see from Rav Nachman or Rav Elazar that there's not necessary for you yourself to read the document. And, I mean, as opposed, like the chachamim, right, that we said before, as we explained the chachamim before, that by kriya, it's okay. So Rav Yehuda, that's what Ula is saying to Rav Yehuda, why are you straining yourself to read this document? The Davko, here we say, Davko Rav Nachman v'safra dayne, that only this case or this situation is only true when it's Rav Nachman and a safra dayne, the islu emta. Why? Because they have fear. What is the fear here? Because Rav Nachman was a dayan who was appointed, right, by the Reish Galuta, and he was also the chatno of the Nisbei Nisiya. He was a son-in-law, right, of the ruling Jewish, I don't know, call it governor at that time, of the Nisiya. So therefore, since he had that, then the Sofrei Dayanim were afraid of him because he came both, he was a Dayan, and on top of that, he came from the power base of the Bei Nisiya, and so they were afraid to lie to him or cross his path. And because of that, we can trust what the Sofrei Dayanim are reading to him. That's about Rav Nachman v'Safrei Achrina. If it's Rav Nachman and other Sofrim, or Safrei Dayanei v'Inish Achrina, lo, that would not be true. We have to have some factor that creates an element of fear or dissuasion for these people to lie to the person they are reading to or to not read it correctly. So you can only do that when there's an aspect of fear if they were found out. Okay, Rav Papa, they used to bring to him a Persian contract or document, the Aviv Erkaot Shel Kutim, that was done in a secular court. Makri Lehu Lishnei Kutim, Zesh Lo Bifnei Zeh. He would have two Persians, or people understood Persian, to read it to him, right? One not in front of the other, meaning so that's way he could check the veracity of what they were reading or how they were translating it. B'siach Lefi Tumo. I mean, and he also did not do it in a manner where he says, I need you to read this for me, but he did it in the midst of a regular conversation. He kind of, led into that, and then they read it without knowing that they were reading it to him. Umagbi be mishabde, and then he would actually allow with such a star to collect from encumbered property. Even though we said earlier in the Gemara, right, that if you had these foreign contracts or Persian contracts, that you could not collect, you could only collect for B'nai Chari, but that's over there because they were done by Hejotot, they were done by lay people. But here, since they were in the Erkaot, they were done in the courts, then they have Tokef and Kola, Yislahu, and therefore you could be Taref from even Mishabde, from encumbered property. The Amar Ravashi, Amar Li Ravuna, Barnatan, Hochi Amar Meimar, Haishtora Parsa, if you have a Persian contract or document, the Chatimi Alei Sade Yisrael, right, that has Jewish signatories on it, then you can collect from encumbered property. This is what you were saying, right? They don't know how to read Persian. So how could we rely on these edim? They know Persian. We need that it could be writing that cannot be forged or erased. Veleka, and that's not the case by their documents, by Persian documents. Bedafitza, no, it's a case where they cured them in this gall nut juice, just like we do, in order that they could not be mizdeif. Fabian and Tzarchak Zormi Ninoshal Shtar Bishitachrona, that they have to summarize in the last line the tokef of the shtar, right, by our staros, Veleka, and they don't have that in Persian contracts. Bimahadr, they did that. Where it says, Velamai Kamashmalan. So then what are you teaching me? If everything's done, kishtar kadin, right, what do you need to tell me? That's a valid shtar, and you can collect mishabdi. Mashalan, the becholosh and kosher. That is it, exactly that point, that you can write it in any language, and it'll still be considered a kosher document. So Gemara says, Tanina, we already know that from a braisa. Right, get shekotvo ivrit, vedav yivanit. That was written in Hebrew, and its signatories are in Greek. Yivanit, it's written in Greek, vedav ivrit. And its signatories are in Hebrew, kosher. So there we see already that language is not a barrier to the validity or the tokef of a get or a shtar. So imahi, from the price, I would have thought, havamini hani mili begitin. This is only true by gitin noshim, aval b'shar shtarot lo. Does not have application by other shtarot. Kamash balon, that's exactly what the statement of Ravashi is come to teach us, that Kamash Malon, that even by Shar Shtarot, it's okay to do it Bechol Lashon, that you can do it in any language. Okay, Amar Shmuel, Natan La Niyar Chalak, he hands her a blank piece of paper. Varmala Hazeg Gitech, this is your get. Migureshet. Right? She is Migureshet, she's divorced. Chayshinon, we worry, Shema b'mei milim katvo. We were afraid that he wrote it with, right, this gallnut juice ink, and this gallnut juice ink is not going to be visible on the cloth. So we assume that there was a get written there, but we can't see it because he did it in ink that is not readily visible. Right, meitve. Hariza giteich v'natalto b'zerakto liyam. Says this is your get, and then he takes it and throws it into the ocean, or into a fire, or it's something that destroys it. And then after he does that, he comes back and says, it was a shtar pasimhu, shtar amanahu. It really wasn't a get, but rather it was a shtar pasim, which is a shtar pius, meaning that's something that's written to a friend who he trusts, that he writes to him a shtar chov, in order to make it look like he has a lot of money, or a shtar amana, which is where the love gives to the malve a document of loan, even though he hasn't lent him the money yet, because he trusts him to only take out the document and intoveya him if he actually lends him the money. So he says that it's a shtar pasim or shtar amana, which is obviously not a get. Migureshet, she remains divorced, she is divorced. The local emenu lo sra, he doesn't have a right now to make her asur. Because he presented this document originally as a get, right? So therefore, he doesn't have a right to retract or take back that which he gave. Taimo, the reason in this Bryce is the ikatav. There was something written on the document. So there was writing on the document. So then we assume that which was written on the document is what he originally claimed, which is a get. But then when he later on says shtar pasim shtar amana, then he's not believed. But in our case, halakatav lo. In our case here, where there's no writing. Right, which I think is your question. If there's no writing, you can't make a claim that there was a get here, because there was no writing at all. So Kikamar Shmuel is talking about a case. Dibad kinan lebe maya denaro. No, they checked it afterwards. They checked the document, the maya denaro. Right. So Rashi calls maya denaro is a tseva shkoyin poili. So some sort of coloring. You take this colored water, then the letters that were absorbed into the cloth or into the document rise or come out. It's like an invisible ink, and you place the solution on top, and the ink or the letters come forward. Tosa says, the Rach says that it's a mei klipat rimon. It's a water solution made out of the skins or the shells of a pomegranate. The polit. If it shows up, if the writing shows up, then fine. V'ilo palit lav klumu. If it doesn't show up, then there's nothing to talk about. Mar says, v'chi palit my havi. Just because the ink now comes visible, what have you done here? Hashtahu de palit. Right? It only became visible now. So if it only became visible now when he gave the document to her, it wasn't visible. If it wasn't visible when he gave the document to her, there's no ktav. There's no ktav, there's no get. Shmuel nami chayshinan kamar. That's what Gemara says. Shmuel exactly what he said. He's chayshinan that she's migureshit. We worry that she is, right, migureshit. Now that's only if we find that there's ktav afterwards. If they do the test afterwards and they find that the document's completely blank, then she's not migureshit lagamre. It's a zero. If they find afterwards that the letters are visible, then we say that we're choshesh, Shmuel is choshesh, that she is migureshit. Now, going back to your question, all right, so still, even if the letters show up later, what are we being choshesh for? If it wasn't visible at the time to get, who's made, what are the Eidim Mesira made on, what's going on here? So Tosfos gives a couple of possibilities about what happened here. That when they say it's niyar chalak, when they see that it was clear paper over here, it was that Shmuel says it's not Bishat Netina Ra'u. They didn't see it at the time of the giving. Shuniyar Chalak, Dimkein Afilu Aya Vaday Katuv V'Mei Milim. And then it was definitely written by Mei Milim. Ain't no get. Kim Dushan Netina Kvar Nivlu Otiyot. Right, so Ella. So what do we have? Shachat Achar Netiyak Shir Otiyot Yecholot Libala Ra'u Sheniyar Chalak. That the Edim only saw the paper a couple moments. They saw it in enough time for the ink to be absorbed into the paper. So they saw it when it was erased already, or there was nothing, it was a blank piece of paper, but it was at a point in time where it could have been already that the letters were absorbed into the paper. So there's a possibility that when he gave the get had, the otiot had the letters on him, and it was a get, and that it only absorbed or disappeared in the period of time that the edim came. That's one possibility Tosfos gives. The other possibility Tosfos gives is that that Bishat Nitiya Ra'u Mirachok. The Edim were in a distance. And from a distance, it looked like the paper was blank. But had they gotten closer, it was possible that the letters were distinguishable. Because it's invisible ink and it starts to fade into the paper, from a distance, it might have looked like there was nothing on there. Had they come closer, there's a possibility that the letters were readable at the time that he handed it to her, and that would make it a valid get. And that's the Chayshinan of Shmuel. The Chayshinan of Shmuel over here is for these two issues, the possibility that when the Edim are testifying, yes, the paper is blank, but they are at a point in time where there's a possibility or plausibility that at the time he gave the get, the letters were there and it was a valid get at the Zman HaMasira, either because the Edim are too far away or because the Edim are at a time after which it was possible for the letters to be absorbed. So because of that, we say Chayshinan. But if the Tav, right, was there, it was clear that there was ktav there at the time he handed her a get, and he claimed it was a get, that will remain a get, lagamre, unless, right, we can prove otherwise. I mean, if he throws it into the fire, he throws it into the ocean, he doesn't have a right to reverse his position. No. No. Chayshina means we're choshesh for her being a divorcee, which means she can't marry a kohen. She's choletze velo mityabemet. Right, I mean that she gets the status of a divorcee, l'chumra. Amar Ravina, Amar Liam Eimer, Hachi Amar Mereimer Mishmei de Rav Dimi, Hani Beitre, Diyahiv Gita Kamayu, Tzricha de Mikre. That two Edim, so Shaul, you were hinting at this a little bit, that these two Edim, that a get was given in front of them, they have to read it. They must read the get. So Meitave, our case right here. Right, if the Edim have to read it, how could the Baal reverse his position once we have Edim that know what was written in the document? They read the document. So after the Edim read it, they handed it back to the Baal. It came back into his possession. Ve'afke. And then he, later on, gave it to the wife. Or he gave it back to the wife. Ma'u detemo, we would think, chalufei chalfei. He might have exchanged the document. He could have changed the documents. Kamash Malan, that we're not choshesh that the Baal swapped out the documents. Once the Edim have read that document, we assume the document that they read is the document he handed to the woman, and it's a valid get. How gavra? This man threw a get to his wife amongst the jars or the barrels. Ishtakach, then they went, the woman went, and ishtakach mezuzah. And she found amongst the barrels a mezuzah. Amar Rav Nachman, mezuta ben danei lo shchicha. To find a mezuzah amongst jars or barrels, not common. So if it's not common, then we assume that the mezuzah being there is what he threw. The document he threw was not a get, but rather a mezuzah. Find a mele de ishtakach chado. That's only if he found one mezuzah there. But Bezu Gimel, if they found two or three mezuzot there, I mean, the ha-have, ha-nami have. If you found two or three mezuzot, then it's clear that the Baal didn't put them there because he only threw one document to her. The fact that there are multiple documents here proves that they were already here beforehand. If they're here already beforehand, we assume the one that she picked up also was here beforehand. Ah, what happened to the get? Vigita imar achbarim shaklua. Then we'll say that some mice ran off with the get. So, how gavra? The alabei knishta, he went into the shul, shakal sefer Torah, he takes the sefer Torah, yavlo the bitu, and he hands it to his wife. Barala hagitech, here's your get. Amro yav Yosef, kamay leichushla. What are we going to have to worry about? Why should we worry about this at all? Imishum meimilim, eimimilim, agabi meimilim. Right? If you're going to worry about the fact that he wrote with invisible ink, right? Or somehow the ink was absorbed. He wrote the get on the gvil, on the clear, on the outside margins of the Sefer Torah with Meimilim, and therefore she can't see it now, and he really wrote a get, and then it disappeared. So that's not a problem, because we know that the cloth of a Sefer Torah has to be cured with Meimilim. It has to be cured with Afatzim in order that it be valid cloth, and therefore Meimilim are not visible on it, so he can't write with it. They're not. It's not a good ink to write with on that document. If we're worried about the fact that it's kritut, the itba, right? Habeina v'kot of law, right? What are we worried about? The fact that the parsha of Gittin of kritut is found in the Torah, and that will be the kritut for her get. Well, we need v'kot of law lishma. It has to be written. The document must be written for her in particular. And over here, it's a sefer Torah stam. It wasn't written for her. V'chitem alechush dilma aktim yoyv leizuzu lesafra mikara. Maybe this guy, when he bought, you know how they buy letters in the Sefer Torah? This guy bought Parshat Get, Gittin. And he told the sofer to write it for his wife when he was writing the Sefer Torah. Ha, the Gemara says, Ha be'ina and shmo u'shma, shem yiro v'shem yira. Right? You need to write the name of the man, the woman, his city, her city. None of that is available or found in the Sefer Torah of Aleka. So, there's nothing to talk about here. What are you being choshish for? What's the question? Gemara says, Rav Yosef, my kamashmal. And if that's the case, then what's Rav Yosef coming to teach us? She'ein milin, agabe me milin. That's what Rav Yosef comes to teach us, this principle that you can't have ink, gallnut-based ink, written on top of gallnut-cured cloth. That's not considered valid ktiva. And since that's not valid ktiva, it will not be considered a get. And that's what the chiddush that the Rav Yosef was coming to teach us. As she mentions over there, I should have pointed it out to you, that it's not on gallnut flavor, paper, but it's on asavim. So on regular paper. And that regular paper, that type of writing is not clear. Right, because it could be valid, right? So because it could work on that paper, but because the paper absorbs the ink, you can't see it here. Here, if you look, it's Rashi Niyar. It's on the previous Amud. Rishal Asavimhu. Paper is made out of, you know, grass or some sort of herbs. Velo klaf mubad afatzim. And not made from cloth that's cured with afatzim. Diyafi tamran ein meimilin agabe meimilin. Exactly what you're saying, Shul. Because if it's made out of what, you know, that suggestion, it wouldn't work here and it would be an invalid get. The gamre.